Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to The Book Experience. I am your host, Chanel, and tonight we have such a special guest. We have Denora Boone, who is the author of God Doesn't Make Mistakes, God Doesn't Break Promises, and Confessions of a First Lady. We're going to try to get into all three of the books, but then she also has to say, I'm going to bring onto the mic with us Miss Boone. And Miss Boone, thank you so much for joining us this evening. I'm so excited to discuss your books with you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, not a problem, not a problem. Okay, I don't even know where to begin. So let's begin with God Doesn't Make Mistakes. Was this your first novel?
Yes.
So how did you...
Ever written.
Well, you did a wonderful job.
Thank you so much.
How did you come up with the concept of God Doesn't Make Mistakes?
Well, it started from personal experiences that I've gone through, and it was kind of like a therapy for me to...
Sorry, your signal is coming up a little garbly, so you may have a little bit of connection problem there.
Can you hear me?
But, yes, thank you.
Okay.
So you said you were working in a group home?
No, I wanted to start a group home.
Oh, okay. So did you start your group home, or did God just take you in?
I haven't started it yet. This is I'm in the beginning phase. I have the names that I want to use and what I want to do in the group home, but it hasn't been officially started yet.
Oh. So is this your catalyst into doing that? And where do the books fit in?
Funding that I need to save up so that I'll be able to start that group home. So I wanted to be able to fund it myself.
Oh. Well, now, so you're going to, well, how are you going to juggle both? Because I see this as just a continuing theme.
I'm going to need the help of God to do that.
Because, honey, with God Doesn't Make Mistakes, and then you're going on into God Doesn't Break Promises, I don't see this. I see this as do have our first question, Denora. So, 7364, I'm coming right to you right now. Please state your name and where you're calling from ask your question of Ms. Boone. Thank you. 7364, you're on the air with us. What is your question? What is your name? Are you there? 7364, you're on the air with us. We'll try to get back with you. Thank you so much for listening. Okay, so God Doesn't Make Mistakes. And, you know, that was so, that was for me. Because, you know, just living life, you know, I was born in the church, born and raised in the church, and then, you know, I strayed. So, and when you go on a path other than what God ordained, then you think, okay, Lord, it's your fault. So is that how you came into writing God Doesn't Make Mistakes?
It was more so when I started was just releasing what I had been holding on to for so long, and I needed to be able to get it out in order to get over it. And I think sometimes we hold things in so much to where we carry it and we carry it, and then we start to blame God instead of trying to figure out how to get over it so that we can move past it. So that's kind of like what it was. He doesn't make any mistakes in whatever we go through. He knew it was going to happen before it happened. We just have to understand, once this happens, how do we get past it? How do we grow and be able to help somebody else? So that's what it started out to for me to be. And I had to, you know, make it to where it's relatable to people so they're able to not feel like they're getting beat over the head with the Bible, but actually get a message out of something that's real.
It definitely is a message. I can attest to that. As I believe I tweeted to you that I was angry, upset. And you took me through up and down, and you know, but it's a very real story. It is very, very relatable. And so, where did you draw from? What experiences or what life experiences brought you to God doesn't make mistakes, and then into God doesn't break promises?
Well, the first part, God doesn't make mistakes. I was raised by my grandparents, like the character Nivea was, so I was able to relate to that. I went through an experience where I was sexually assaulted, and that was something that I held on to for so long, but it was at a young age. So I know that there's a lot of young girls and even some young men who, you know, have gone through that experience. They may not have told anyone, and they're just feeling like it's their fault. And I carried that feeling of it was my fault. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. If I hadn't been there, it wouldn't happen. But it was going to happen because it needed to happen. And now that I'm in the place that I am in my life, I understand that now. So that's why I wanted to help that person that may have gone through it at a young age, who are going through it at a young age. And then when I went to God Doesn't Break Promises, it showed how now that she's older, she understands why she had to go through it. Nivea understands why she had to go through it. I understand why I had to go through it. I had to go through it for somebody else to help bring them out. So it goes from being a young adult to being older and more mature and understanding the role that God plays in our lives, and that whatever he promised you in the beginning, it's going to come to pass. So just you have to hold on to what you know he promised you, regardless of what the situations look like.
Okay. We're going to go to the next question because you were really about to break me down. So before I break down, we have 0702. I'm coming right to you right now. Please state your name and where you're calling from. 0702, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Crystal. I'm from Georgia, Middle Georgia.
Hi, Crystal. Welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm your number one fan, Miss Boone.
Thank you.
I want to know who or what were some of your biggest influences for God Doesn't Break Promises?
Definitely my grandparents. My grandparents, if it wasn't for them teaching me how to be, you know, a wife, a mother, a friend, and to really love God, I wouldn't have been able to even begin writing or begin having the passion that I have for the people that I do. I watched my grandma, you know, she raised me, and I watched her love everybody. Like, from my friends, they were always at my house. You know, we were just family. That's just how she made you feel. And I've always inspired to be like her. She loved God, but she let you know that, you know, even though she made mistakes, it doesn't take away from the love that God had for her. And so with that understanding and how she raised me and how much she loved me, that helped me to be the person I am today.
Thank you, Crystal. That was such a great question, and thank you so much for tuning in to the show. So, you know, that seems to be a commonality with a lot of people, grandparents. And we're going to get back into the book, but I would just like to ask you, because your grandparent, your grandmother was your foundation, as you just stated, what do you think the today's generation, you know, the grandparents are getting younger and younger. So how do you think the grandparents of today's generation are faring into how these children are coming up? And do you think they'll have the same passion? Are we instilling the same type of God and love that our grandparents instilled in us into them?
I think it's because the younger that our grandparents are getting now, it's like they don't have time to really mature and really get an understanding. Whereas the older generation, they went through so many hard times, and so all they had to depend on was God. And so that's where they understood that. I think nowadays we just throw God in the back seat and we try to fix it. So without that foundation of having God at the forefront of our lives, there's no way that we can teach our children and then our grandchildren to have that if we don't have it. So I think our older generation, they had that. They understood who God was. They understand who he is. And so they were able to bring what they understood of God into how they raised their children. So I think now with the younger generation, we just don't have that. We don't have that encouragement that it's okay to love God, that it's okay to let him lead us, that it doesn't have to be something taboo or something bad. And if we get back to where God is, he'll help us to be able to raise our children like we should and have less of them raising themselves. We have to be there in our children's lives and our grandchildren's lives so that they know they don't have to feel like they're raising themselves.
Go ahead.
See,
you said you were nervous.
You're
no kid,
huh? I am still
nervous. No, I don't understand why, because you're giving good advice. You're giving knowledge. You are bringing forth actually word. You better preach, really. So I'm still trying to grasp my, you know, wrap my head around you and your group home. What type of group home are you wanting to open?
I want to start with a young girls group home from like the ages of 13 to 19, because that seems to be the age that's the most impressionable now and the most that are, you know, doing so much stuff that it wasn't even doing at that time. And they feel like, you know, nobody cares, nobody loves them.
I think we're kind of losing you.
Can you hear me?
Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
I think between the ages of 13 and 19, young girls now, they just feel like they're on their own. Don't have anyone.
We're losing you. For those of you who are listening, might be a little bit of technical difficulty with the line, but please continue to listen. You are listening to Denora Boone. She is the author of God Doesn't Make Possessions of the First Lady. Honey, when you read that, when we get to that one, I am waiting for the saga to continue with this. Denora, you kind of left us hanging on that one. But I want to get back to, I'm glad you mentioned that the young men also are, you know, experiencing that they go unnoticed, they go unheard, and they don't reveal, you know, what they're going through. So what do you say to that when we got you back?
I really think it just, can you hear me?
Yes, yeah, we hear you much better. Thank
okay.
You.
We're driving, so I'm sorry people are driving. But I think that it all goes back to, you know, the parenting. If our men would stand up for their sons and let them know it's okay to express your feelings, then they wouldn't feel like they have to follow this trend of, you know, being hard, or if I'm showing my emotions, I'm weak. But that's not it. You're human. And if we have our fathers back to raise our young men and to teach them and to build on that foundation of, you know, Christian values, then we would have a lot of men to be able to stand up and be husbands and fathers like they're supposed to of their household. But we don't have that because we're having a lot of our men who don't understand that it's okay to be vulnerable sometimes. That just makes you human.
That's good right there. That's good right there.
Ain't God doing it? God is giving me all this stuff tonight.
You're doing well. You're doing well. Now, God doesn't break promises. How did you know to segue from God doesn't make mistakes to God doesn't break promises? And, you know, it's difficult when we stray away sometimes and then we think, you know, what he told me is not coming to pass. So when that happens, how did you get it back on track?
I was able to, when I felt like I didn't know where to go, I trusted somebody who I knew would teach me and to help me to get back in line where I need to be. We have to be able to trust someone. And a lot of times I hear a lot of people say, well, I don't trust this person or I don't trust them. We have to trust somebody. And I had to get into a church who I knew they were going to teach me the word of God. I was able to trust people who knew God and were able to pour into me, because sometimes God will use other people to get the message across to you. Just because you don't hear him right then or you don't see it coming to pass right then doesn't mean that he's not talking. He could be sending someone to you that's able to get you the message that you need. But if you're not willing to be open enough to trust them, then you'll miss out on that message. And then you'll miss, and then you're thinking, okay, God left me. But it's not the case. He's trying to grow us and have us trust his people so that we'll be able to get everything that we need, because he uses other people.
Honey, if you don't keep on preaching, you are helping someone tonight. You're helping me. I appreciate that. That is some
God be the glory.
That is, I am. You know what? We're going to go back to 7364. I'm going to come back to you and see if you're ready to ask your question. And 7364, you're on the air. What's your name and where you're calling from? Okay. Go ahead and ask your question. I'm sorry, sweetie. You're very muffled, and we're not able to hear your question. I will try to come back to you in a moment, but we're not able to hear you. I don't know if it's a bad area, but thank you. Continue to listen. I'll try to come right back to you. So you stated that, you know, you suffered, you know, a form of abuse. Because it sounds like you're able to trust and that you understand that God doesn't make mistakes. How do you understand that God didn't make a mistake, even though that happened to you? Where did you get that understanding?
It took me a long time. It took me years to get that understanding. And it wasn't until I started really writing the book where the understanding came from. Like, I'm writing what happened, you know, based loosely on my life, but with these characters, I'm able to express how I felt during that time, and, like, nobody would understand, or everybody blamed me, and I was the guilty one. But the more that I wrote, the more God showed me, this is what needed to be done in order for you to put this out and help somebody else. So it didn't come until I was starting to write, and that was about 2009, 2010, and this happened when I was a teenager. So this has been within the last, you know, 4 or 5 years that I've been able to really get past it, but it took a while. Even though I had my grandparents, you know, and my closest friends that I had that understood, once I started getting into the church that I was attending, and once I started, you know, hearing the word of God and started to writing, it started to become clear this wasn't just about me. So everything that we go through is not just about us. It may feel like it, but it's for somebody else to help them, because if I'm able to help just one person to overcome, then I please God. And that's all my aim is to do, is to please him.
Nora, I believe that you are pleasing God even in this hour. And it is, really, I'm going to say it just for me. If nobody else asks another question or makes a comment, you are, and we talked about this on Twitter, about why our connection. And the connection is so much clearer to me as you're speaking. And so I thank God that, you know, even with one dream, you started something else that is actually a catalyst, and it's actually a voice for other people. And you tell the story in such a way that you can see yourself in your book. You know, if you're reading the book, if you have not read God Doesn't Make Mistakes and God Doesn't Break Promises, I urge you to pick those books up. They're really easy reads. They're by Denora Boone, if you're listening, if you just tuned in for us. Really, really easy read, and such a blessing. It's very, very helpful. Like I said, I found myself crying. I found myself upset. And even in speaking,
and I went through all of those emotions while writing.
Wow.
I went through every last one of those emotions.
Wow. And so you're able to.
I would get to a part.
Go ahead.
I would get to a part where it was just hard to write, and I would just cry, and I was like, I can't get this, God. And he was like, yes, you can. Just push through it. So one minute I'm crying, the next minute I'm happy, the next minute I'm mad all over again. It's like I went through these emotions through these first two books. So for you to say that is like, I want the reader to be able to feel those emotions and to know that it's okay to feel.
Absolutely. We have another question. I'm so happy about this. We have another caller, 7427. I'm coming right to you right now, 7427. Please state your name and where you're calling from. Hello, love.
Hello.
Hello. What's your
Hello,
name and where you're calling from?
Can you hear me?
Yes,
my name is Naquan.
Hey,
I'm calling from Pensacola, Florida. This is my sister that we're talking to. I just was calling because I was listening to you, and I know I'm so proud of you. So I couldn't listen without calling, you know. And I just wanted to, like, give a little testimony on what she's been saying. I know you're gonna remember this. I remember I was incarcerated in a federal prison, and I called my sister, and I told her, you know, I've been reading, sis. I was like, D, I've been reading. I've been doing a lot of research, and I saw this video, and they were saying religion was fake and this, that, and the third, and da-da-da-da. And I tell people this all the time. My sister came to me. What I said to her could have broken her faith, could have made her say, well, where did you get that from? Well, like, who told you that? How did you find out? But her response to me was, well, you know, I'm going to continue to believe in Jesus Christ because if it's fake, then, oh, well, I'm not going to be punished when I die. She's like, but if it's real and then I'm not living my life the way that I'm supposed to, then I will be punished when I die. And it didn't hit me right then, but later on it hit me like, you know what, that made a lot of sense because she was like, well, if it's fake, then me living my life for God isn't going to affect me when I die because, hey, it's fake. But if it's real, which she believes in, then she knows that she's going to heaven because she's living the right way. And that's what made me say, you know what, forget all the stuff that I've been reading and looking up and all that, because I know he's real. I know he done brought me out of a lot of things, and my sister can attest to that. So I just want to say that little statement you made has carried, and that was like 4 years ago. That little statement stayed in the back of my mind ever since then. And I always tell people that anybody who tries to say, oh, it ain't real, I always tell them the same thing. If it's not, then I'm not going to be punished. But if it is, then guess what? I know I'm going to heaven because I'm living my life right. So I thank you for giving me that advice. And
you're making me cry.
Don't cry. But I also can say this woman is very, very gifted. She is very gifted. Whenever I get the chance to sit down with you, we're going to write our book, my book on you.
I love you, bro. Thank you.
I love you,
thank
too.
Thank you so much. I'm so proud of you.
I can truly say that God used you to bring me back to him because, you know, I was raised up in the church and all that, but, you know, as a child, you don't really understand it. But our bishop, he said something to me that was very powerful. He said, when you're a child and your parents taking you to church, they're basically planting a seed in you. And it stayed, even though I went out and lived that other life for Satan for years, that seed that, like, God kept pulling at my heart. Even though I was out there doing bad, he pulled at my heart the whole time I was out there. And I can truly say that he used my sister, because to this day, I don't know why you moved to Pensacola. I really don't.
Me either.
But I'm glad you did, because you moving here, I met the woman of my dreams, and I married the woman of my dreams.
Yes.
And I'm about to have a baby with the woman of my dreams.
Yes, and I'm so proud of you.
Yes, and I joined the church of my, that I've been searching for all my life. So I really, like I say, God used you, because, I mean, we could stay up here all night talking about how I met my wife, and people was like, wow, through you.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing. I still sit back and say, that was nothing but God, because it couldn't have happened no other way. But I'm glad that you let him use you, and I'm glad you and Byron broke your suitcase out for us.
Okay. We had no briefcase for y'all, but
yeah.
I'm so proud of the man
the
that
briefcase.
You become.
But
well,
I just
want to
say
so
that I'm so proud of you, and keep up what you're doing. You're going to have haters. We all have those, but just keep doing what you're doing. And don't
thank
break
you,
your faith for nobody. I love you.
I won't. I love you too.
And you know
thank
I got that
so
hand
much,
for you too.
I love you. Now that you have everyone crying,
And
okay.
What a wonderful testament. And, you know, Van, she will press one. She's crying right now. She's been posting on Facebook. So
I was okay. I was waiting for him. I was like, he's going to come with me. He's going to say something funny. We're going to laugh. He done made me cry. I'm going to get him later.
But that is a wonderful testament from your brother as to the spirit that you have. And the spirit that you have, Lord, it flows through your book. It flows through your book. And like I said, you know, we tweeted, we talked, we had in private conversations on Twitter. And, you know, we never know why God, you know, moves people in and out or into situations until conversations are struck up, until you read a book and you hold a conversation. I'm blessed, and your fans are blessed, and anyone who reads your book are blessed to, you know, have part of you pour into a story that really touches the core. It really touches the core of who people are. And, you know, I thank you for even pouring out of yourself into something, because I understand that's hard. And, you know, to have to try to, you know, touch base with those emotions and everything that you felt, it's difficult. But you did it, and you did it, you know, there were some funny scenes there. You did it very well. And I personally thank you. You did a wonderful job.
I never imagined that it would. I prayed that they would impact people's lives, but I never imagined how they're doing it now. And so it's like God is exceeding my expectations and showing me, you stepped out on faith to do it, and I'm going to do the rest. And I just let him have his way. It's not me. It's him. I have to let him have his way. And I know my publisher, I love my publisher, David Weaver. He's just amazing. For him to take on me being his first Christian fiction author in a world where he's known for, you know, his urban and his street, you know, fiction, with all of his authors can be what.
That was another question. Right. I was going to ask, because I see on your novels, it says David Weaver Presents. So, and you stated you're the first Christian author that's on his publishing house? We may have lost. Have we lost Denora? Hey, again, we are speaking with Denora Boone. She is the wonderful author of God Doesn't Make Mistakes, as well as God Doesn't Break, as well as Confessions of a First Lady. And honey, when we start speaking and talking about Confessions of a First Lady, I can't wait until we get into Confessions of a First Lady. I cannot wait. But first, I want to talk about God Doesn't Break Promises as well. In the cover up, you know, one of the things you stated, and I'm sorry, I don't remember who said it, but, you know, this was one of the verbiage that really stuck out with me. It's on page 36. I'm reading from a Kindle, so it's 36 on my Kindle. But
okay.
You talk about the way people stay bound is through the secrets that they keep and the fear of anyone finding out. Anything that is covered up doesn't get healed. If the things that are going on at home are affecting you outside of home, you need to get help.
Right.
That right there put me, like, boo-hoo fine. Like,
wow.
Gut sickening, stomach aching. My eyes, and I had to go to work the next day, my eyes were so swollen. Because, and so how do you address that in the Black families? Because typically in most Black families, it is what goes on in my house stays in my house. So
right.
When a child is going through abuse or being having, whether it's physical, sexual, verbal, whatever, when they're going through that and we're raised in Black families where we're instructed, you do not discuss what goes on in the home, how do you get through the cover-up?
If when I first heard that statement, I was watching a Tyler Perry play. And he said something to that effect. And I was like, I didn't understand it then. I was like, well, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound, well, it never happened in my house, but I was like, that doesn't sound right. But when I started to think more about it and start to, you know, talk to God more, he gave me the analogy of, like, if you get a wound and you cover it up with a Band-Aid, it's going to stay wet, it's going to stay moist, it's never going to get healed. But once you uncover it, that's when the air can hit it and it can start to heal and it'll scab over and things, eventually it'll be gone. You may have a little scar to let you know that, okay, remind you of this is what happened, but look where God brought you from. The wound was open, it was not healing, but now it's healed. So if we keep things covered up that are hurting us deep down, we'll never be able to heal. We'll never be able to love. We'll never be able to understand the love that God has for us because we're covering everything up. And we can't continue to do that. That's why so many people are hurting. So many people are getting abused is because no one wants to talk about it. They're making them feel like they're wrong for going to get help when they're hurting. We go to the hospital because we're sick. We go to God because we need help. If we don't go get help, we're going to continue to be sick and continue to be miserable. So we have to uncover those things in order to be able to heal from them.
Wow. You are helping others tonight. We have so many people on the line, and I am sorry. If I do not get to you, I see those who have pressed one. I apologize if I do not get to you. I am so confused by who has pressed one that I don't want to repeat to someone. I want to give everyone a chance. So before I do that, you, I know, have a large fan base. And if not, after listening to this, please tell your fans how they can reach out to you, where they can connect to you.
They can connect to me on Twitter. My Twitter is MissBoone27. I have my author page on Facebook. It's Author Denora Boone. I have my personal page, which is just Denora Boone. It's not author. It's just Denora Boone. I have Instagram. My Instagram is MissBoone81. So I have all of the social media that I'm able to use now as that outlet, and I try my best to, whenever I get an inbox or a message, I respond as quickly as I can because they're the reason that I'm able to do this now. It's because I've built, you know, the relationships with them, and I want to be able to continue to build those relationships.
Well, I am Crystal, I'm sorry. I am beginning. I am the number one fan. I've been looking so forward to this interview because, oh my gosh, the cover
I couldn't wait either. I was so excited.
Right, because you spoke to my heart. You spoke to really a lot that I was dealing with and have been dealing with, and you know, a lot of times. And people that I speak to, you know, daily, we talk about various things that go on in our lives, and we say, you know, well, how did you go through that? How did you get through that? How did you do that? So we talk about that. Yeah. But you actually give away. You the title alone says God does not break promises and God does not make mistakes. So, and I keep harping on this, so because you're preaching and you're explaining it so well, so can you please explain to someone who may very well, you know, they may be going through this right now, can you talk to them and what would you say to that person who is actually going through abuse, whether it's sexual, physical, whatever the type of abuse, and they were raised in a church and, you know, they believe that God has forsaken them. Reading your titles, you know, if you're going through that, you're thinking, well, he left me. What do you say to them?
If you believed God before it happened, if you believed everything God told you before, whatever it is happened, trust in what you believed in to know that he's not going to say it. His word will not return back to him void. If you haven't had a relationship with him, that's the first thing I suggest doing, is getting, you don't have to have this big ceremony to get into a relationship with God. Just ask him. And then ask him who to send you to, because it may take someone else. You may not be able to just sit there and talk to him and get the answers. Ask him to guide you to who to go to, who can trust you. But don't just sit there and take it. It's not worth it. You're worthy of more than anything you can possibly imagine, and he wants more for you. Don't look at what you're going through as something that's just going to kill you on the inside. Look at it as something that you're going to overcome. Tell yourself, I am an overcomer, because that's what God says you are. And don't just give up on the promises that he gave you, because they'll come to pass. A lot of times we think that when God says it, he's just going to automatically do it. But we have to do something on our end, too. We have to trust him. We have to keep that relationship open with him. And we have to be able to do the things that he requires of us in order for those promises to come to pass. So it doesn't mean that he's forgotten. It doesn't mean that it won't happen. But ask yourself, what is it that I can do more so that I don't feel like I'm alone? Because God is always there. You may not hear him right then. You may not feel him, but he's still there. And you have to know in your heart that he will never, ever, ever, ever leave you. He's always going to be there.
Well, hey, honey. So you're a preacher, too, on the side, huh?
Ooh, hold on. Wait a minute, Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're giving word. I feel like we need to pass the offering plate or put a website up for donations, because, you know, you preaching. So, again, I will ask, I understand your need or your want to get the group home, but you're writing, because this can't stop. You must continue this absolute wonderful gift that you have.
And I think that I will continue. I will continue to write. It's just whatever God leads me to do, however he leads me to do it. And if writing, you know, if I need to do that right now for the next 10 years and then open the group home, whatever he sees fit for my life and whatever he tells me to do, I'm willing to do it. Because when I did it my way, it was wrong. I've messed up, like, so much, but I'm able to own that. I'm able to say, no, that wasn't God who told me to do that. I did that myself. God wasn't in that. I was being rebellious. I was doing what I wanted to do. And Delora has to deal with those consequences. But now that I understand and I want the relationship and I want him to lead me, I have to let him do that. So if whatever he tells me to do, whatever he tells me to go, that's what I'm going to do. So however he leads me to, you know, to do it and whatever it is I need to do so that he can get the glory out of my life, I'm willing to do it.
Well, honey, you help me because I'm just obedient. I'll tell you that now. I'm just so. You are helping me right now. In God doesn't break promises. You talk about letting go. There's a chapter called Letting Go. And you say God allows certain things to happen in our lives in order to build and strengthen us and to give us a testimony. He has given you an awesome testimony, and your brother as well. That, I'm still so, his testimony, yeah, that's it, everybody.
My brother has gone through so much, but I've watched him, even from afar. We weren't raised in the same household, so I didn't meet my brother and my sisters until I was almost 18 years old. He was 14. And I've watched him from the time of 14 until now. He'll be 30 this year. And I've seen him go through his trials. I've seen him go through just hell and high water. But I've seen my brother come out a new man. I've seen my brother make changes. And I couldn't be any prouder of him and the man that he's become because I know he's let God use him. Like, I'm his number one fan. Whether, I love my sister-in-law, Deja, but I am my brother's number one fan because I know how hard it was for him. But he didn't quit. He didn't give up. And that spoke to me, too. And even during the times I wasn't able to talk to him or we were in our brother-sister mood where we weren't talking, like, I still watched him. I still prayed for him. And I'm watching him become a man, and I'm watching the God in him show himself. And it's like that's what makes me proud because he's letting God lead him. And I couldn't be any happier for him because he's inspired me as well because he didn't quit. He could have gave up a long time ago. He could have stopped. He could have said, this isn't worth it. I don't want to do it anymore. It's too hard. Let me go do it the easy way. But he knew the easy way would end up having him in a different area that he wasn't ready to go to. So he surrendered, and I'm so proud of him for that.
Plus, he had a wonderful example in his sister. So, no, he couldn't go the easy way because your example would not allow that. Awesome. What an awesome, awesome testimony. I am so... Oh, I just love you. 7364, we're going to come back to you one more time. Let's try this again. 7364, we're coming to you right now, sweetie. Your name and your question. 7364, you're on the air with us. Thank you so much for continuing to listen. We're still not able to hear you, but I so appreciate you listening. We have 6093. You have a question, and state your name and where you're calling from. You're going to like this one, Denora.
Praise the Lord, saints. This is Sister Jackson, Van Willis Jackson. I finally got a chance to get myself together so that I could speak. I have enjoyed this program tonight. Yes, this is Van. First of all, I want to say, Denora, you there?
Well,
hello?
Go ahead and ask your question. She's traveling, so we are...
Okay, I just wanted to say that in Denora, I enjoyed her friendship before I even bought the first book. I have enjoyed her books. I knew there was a special word in her. And then for her brother to call in... What I had read earlier about him, I thought he was calling in to crack some jokes. And I was ready, I thought. I was ready to laugh and ended up in tears. I am so proud of him like he would be my brother. I am truly proud of him. But that speaks volumes of this author and her works. She reached him because they were related, but she's reaching so many others through that written word. And I'm telling you, I have just truly enjoyed myself tonight. I know you can hear my voice cracking, so I'm going to make it quick. But
no,
anyway,
you're gonna stay right there. Hold on, I'm gonna break her back on. Hold on.
Okay.
Denora?
I'm here.
Okay.
Hey, Denora,
can you hear
this
me?
Is Van.
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
I can hear,
hear you.
Real
Van
well.
Is on the line with us, Denora. Yes, we can
Hello?
Hear you. Yes, we can
oh,
hear
you.
Yes.
I
hey,
need
Denora. His minions to get off this connection because he's just cutting up tonight.
Right, but it's okay. Van is on the line with us.
Okay, I can hear better now.
Okay.
This is Van Jackson, Denora. She's still driving?
Yes, she's
yeah,
still driving. Okay. Did you hear, we said Van is on the line with us, Denora.
Hey, Van.
Hey, Denora. I have enjoyed
How you
y'all tonight. I'm doing great. I really am. I'm choked up, but I'm doing good. I
Did,
thought
you
your brother was going
to
be cracking jokes.
I can hear you.
Okay, were you able to hear what Dan said?
No, I didn't hear that part.
Dan, can you repeat what you said about the friendship before? Can you repeat that?
Okay,
I don't think
yes. Yes, I said that I enjoyed the friendship that I, you know, that we had, you know, the bond that we shared just over social media before I ever bought the first book. After reading her books, I knew there was a special word inside of her, and I knew that she was reaching people. But tonight, in hearing her brother's testimony, oh, my gosh. That testimony came from them being related, but just think of how many testimonies that are out there from just reading her words. My goodness.
That's all. To God be the glory. If it wasn't for him, I really wouldn't be able to do it. But I'm honored that he decided to use me. I was willing. He said, okay, you told me you were willing. Now, I didn't tell him how I wanted him to use me. He uses me as he sees fit. But I'm just honored that he's able to use me to reach his people. And that just means so much to me.
Well, you have no idea who all you may have even reached just tonight, but this has been a blessing, a true blessing. Your brother's testimony, oh, my goodness. We got to get him on the phone or on Twitter or something to
yes.
get him in.
I told him I need him to go ahead and write his book so
yes,
we put that
we
word out because he has one in him.
Oh, my goodness. Well, pull it out of him, please.
Yes, when the boys
I'm gonna pull it.
My boys are going to actually. We're working on trying to get a show for them and a day for them. So when the boys get together, or I may even have to do it myself. But when the boys get their thing together here too, we're gonna have to have Naquan on and talk from a male perspective. That
awesome.
Is yes, absolutely. So, Naquan, I hope you're still listening to us, and we're going to have to connect that way, and you're going to have to get us connected to Noir on social media or whatever so
I
that
sure
we can make
will.
That happen.
Please do, please do.
Make that happen. Dan, stay right there because I want you to go on and help us with this Confessions of a
okay.
First Lady. Confessions of a First Lady. I was just going through that again this evening before we went on. Honey, when are you completing this saga?
I am working on it now. I will have that today. Now, y'all going to hold me accountable. I'm going to have it all to David no later than Friday. So now then it'll be in his hands. I'm going to let y'all know I done sent it to David. Now it's in his hands, so y'all don't be attacking me. But I would definitely
okay.
have
Just
it completed. I would have it completed and to him Friday. So I just went through the ending again, and I got mad again. I was really
y'all
gonna
be real mad on this next one. The first one will be your anger level will be so high on the second part that I was sitting here writing. I was like, God, she can't be doing this. I was fussing while I was writing, so you're gonna be mad.
Oh my
Where
God!
Where in the world did you pull this out? Because it was a twist. I didn't see that coming at the end. Where did
and
you pull
either.
This from?
I don't, I'm going to be honest with you, it had to have come from God because I don't know, that was not a real life experience. Let me make that clear.
Okay.
That part was not a real life experience. I don't know, I don't even remember, I was starting on a different book that I'm going to release later in the year. It's called What Lies Beneath. And I stopped writing that in the middle of it, and I went to Confessions, and I'm like, I just started writing, and God just let the words flow. And halfway through, I came back, and I'm rereading what I wrote. And I was like, ooh, God, that sounds good. You did that, because that was not me. I have no clue where that storyline came from.
Well, honey,
you
got
to keep it going now.
Absolutely.
I'm going to give y'all some more shenanigans. First Lady got a little bit more explaining to do.
Oh my
and Aisha,
great.
she got to get herself together.
And so does the pastor, it seems like.
Huh?
I said, and so does the pastor.
And so does the pastor.
I don't know. Pastor might have some stuff to tell. He might have a little shenanigans going on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, according to
so they seem to like shenanigans, though.
Yes, they like shenanigans. So, Van, do you have anything else that you want to ask about Confessions of a First Lady before we get into her new baby?
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry, y'all. I had everything lined up that I was going to ask, but your brother just tore it out. So
I know, right? He had me crying. I'm going to get him later.
I'm telling you. Ooh.
He going to get an earful from me up here making me cry with these people listening. He's no thug, don't cry.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, thank you, Van, for
I just can't even think of a question. I read the books, and I'm ready for the sequel, but I'm just floored.
Oh, yes, because, you know, I
it will be coming. I'm going to make sure I have it to him Friday.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, and I will be doing a pre-order.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hear that, David? We need to do the pre-order. Just in case you're missing, I need to do the pre-order.
Because I sure will be ready.
Thank you, Van. And I will
talk
to you later.
All right. We'll talk on social media. Y'all take care.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, we are going to talk about your new baby. You guys know how excited I am for you and your new baby. Please
This new baby was so unplanned by me. And I say that because when I signed with David last April and I started writing and, you know, we were seeing the writers, they were starting their companies and, you know, he was my husband, Byron, he was like, babe, you're going to have your publishing company, right? And I dodged that thing. Every time he threw it at me, I was like the Matrix. Nope, I'm not hearing it. I don't want to do it. And he said this for months. And so when David came to me and he told me, I want you to have your own publishing company, I was like, hold on, Lord, we got to talk. I'm thinking, did my husband talk to David? Are they in cahoots with each other to make me do this? And God said, no, I just needed to give you another confirmation. So I was like, oh, okay, check me then. So I go ahead and whatever, Lord, whatever you say you want me to do, I said I was going to do it. So now him and David and Stan have given me the opportunity to start Anointed Inspirations Publishing, where I'll be focusing on Christian fiction authors. I want us to be able to put out real-life inspiration that can change people's lives. I don't want to write to impress people. I don't want to do that. I don't want to impress you. That's not what I'm here for. I want to help you. I want to change your life. I want God to be able to change your life. And through these authors and these stories, I want them to be successful because I know it'll help their families, but it'll also help so many people who don't go to church, who have been church hurt and can't trust. I need you to know that we understand. We've been there, but there's other places that God wants to take us. So I'm honored that not only, you know, my husband and David seeing this in me, because I didn't see it myself. And a lot of times we don't see what's in us because we're trying to talk ourselves out of it. When God is clearly saying, you can do this, if you just trust me, I'll help you. So that's what he's doing. I'm still learning. He's doing that with me even now. I tried to talk myself out of it. I didn't want to hear my husband. But that one suggestion that he made, it also opened me up to, I can trust my husband even further than I thought I was trusting him. So it's built our relationship up from a company. Because now I see, okay, I know my husband here is from God. I know he's a man of God. I see God in him every day. Because a lot of the things that we've been through, he could have easily thrown in the towel. But we're coming up on our 14-year wedding anniversary, and he's never given up. So to know that he has God in him like that, and he was able to pour into me and see what's in me, that just opened my eyes even more to being willing to do what God's called me to do.
Before I ask my next question, we have another caller. Caller 5718, I'm coming to you right now. Please state your name and where you're calling from. Welcome to the air. Are you there?
I'm from Pensacola, Florida. Hello, how are you?
Hello. Thank you. Welcome to the book experience. May we have your name, please?
Dante Shepherd.
Hey, Rose.
Hey, sis.
How you doing?
I'm well and blessed. Can't complain.
I'm so glad you could join us.
Yes, ma'am. I'm just listening in, and I just wanted to give some words of encouragement. I'm just so proud of you. I think that it is so incredible for people to accept the calling that God has placed on your life. And I know that it is a very difficult thing sometimes because it's scary ground, you know, because it takes faith to walk in and walk in what God wants you to walk in.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's my brother from another minister. I love there. I met them through the church that my husband and I joined, Deliverance Tabernacle in Pensacola, Florida.
Yes, ma'am.
With the best bishop and first lady bishop, Charles and Lady Sonda Young, and they have just really been like, I don't look at them as just church family. They're like family. Like, we could have come from the same person. It wouldn't have made us any closer. And I just appreciate you guys for continuing to pour into me and encourage us and support us, because without you guys' love and support and affection, it would be so hard to be able to do it. And I just thank you guys for continuing to be with us through this journey.
Amen. Well, we're so glad to be a part of it. And I tell you, it's just amazing to see the success that God has already started in your life and in your family's life. And, you know, I'm excited to see how you continue to grow. And I'll continue to shoot these books out that they're going to change people's lives. There's nothing better than something that's going to change someone's life. You know, a lot of people are so dedicated to making money, but not dedicated to making good people, you know.
Right.
God, people. And so I just see God has really, really touched you in your purpose. And I know my wife is so jealous right now. Chris is so jealous because she texted me. She said, you make sure you listen to Denora. And I said, I will. She said, but I've tried to get through and I can't get through. And I'm
I know you there, sis.
Yeah, so I'm actually at work and she's at home, Denora. She's just
y'all
gonna
stop making me cry. Okay. I need y'all to stop making me cry tonight.
She said I'm super jealous. That's what she just said to me. I
love you, Crystal, my put. That's my put, yeah.
Yeah, but continue to do the works of God.
I will.
You said it's not. We of course we want monetarial gain because we know that God has blessed us with a gift and He wants us to prosper in everything that we do. You know, from our spiritual man to our money. But at the same time, you know, be true to the gift that He gave, and be true to your purpose. And your purpose is to change people's lives. And we know if we sow that seed, then God is going to definitely bless you abundantly outside
Amen.
Of that. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm
right,
glad
Bishop.
You're on the show with
my Bishop Shepherd.
<Got
you. laughs> I love you, bro. Thank you so much.
Wow. Denora. I mean,
they're going to stop making me cry.
What? I am just so, I mean, your spirit, I can't even find the number that I'm trying to, your spirit, just the callers that have called in is just, it's a wonderful testament of your spirit and the person that you are. Like, as Van said, you know, you have a wonderful spirit. And I don't just, you know, I don't give everyone my personal cell phone number. I'll just put that out there right now. I don't give everyone my personal cell phone number. But, you know, just by talking to you on Twitter and, you know, having the conversations that we had and then just reading the book and then just listening to, you know, reading your statuses on Facebook, I love the fact that Anointing Inspiration Publishing is not going to take any manuscripts that have cursing.
Nope.
When I read your criteria, I was so moved to tears because a lot of times, you know, we don't have to, and I learned this because I was a bad person. Oh my God! And I learned
Ooh,
that.
Me too, honey. I will remix some cuss words, and you'd be like, "What?" I will remix them.
We don't have to do that, and I realized so much off without using one cuss word. Now, every now and again, I will flip, but I was like a sailor. You would have thought I was a sailor. That's how bad I was. And so when I was reading your criteria, I was so happy because, you know, sometimes we get lost, even as Christians and as Christian writers, and we get lost and we don't know, you know, is this good enough or will this help someone? And it helps. And you are doing, you're doing it. And I am so proud of you. Like I told you on Twitter, you're my sister. We have another question before I get teary-eyed. Let me go to our next caller, 4790. You're on the air right now. Can you state your name and where you're calling from, please?
Kimberly Roberts, and I'm calling from Charlotte.
Hey, Bobby!
Welcome to the show.
Thanks. I just want to encourage Denora. I need you to know that from listening, just being invited to listen, has encouraged me to go on and do the things that I know I've been called to do, but I've been protesting. I ain't even try to get on this phone to try to cry. But let me say this fast so I can get on off. But just listening to you and knowing the relationship that you and I have had as far as from where we met and how we still are together. I've watched you grow. I've watched my son grow. I've watched my kids grow. And in you all's battles, you have helped draw me out of what would have could have been a deep depression. But watching God pull you through and hearing you say that you are, and I know for a fact that it has only been your faith that has kept you going, as well as the rest of the family, but the faith has been it. It has really just encouraged me to trust him a little more, because I'm stingy and I'm selfish, and church hurt actually does hurt.
Mm, yeah.
And I would like for a lot of people to understand that because it hurts don't mean it can't get better.
Amen.
And once you hear somebody else, I'm happy. I'm open. God gives joy, something that someone that can't take from you. And what I feel for you all is joy, because you won't leave and I won't let you go. That's another story. But in that, I just need you to know that you've encouraged me to do some things that I thought was forced on me, but listening to you have let me know that I've not only been trained for it, but I'm ready and I'm protesting, and I must on air say, God, forgive me, and if you're still willing to use me, Lord, I'm ready. See, say it slow, because God can drag you on that deal.
You're ready.
I'm gonna play
this back for you when you try to renege. I'm gonna play this back for you. Just what you said,
ma'am. I don't remember who you are that's controlling this, but please stop her. She knows what to do, and I might not be ready for her. I'm just so excited that you was, because I was there when she said, "Mama, I'm gonna write a book," and I was like, "Go ahead." But I thought she was playing, and now 4 books later, I'm still going. She did it. And I'm just so excited to drag on to your tail, Cole, because Lord knows you're younger than me and I'm tired. I'm going to come out there anyway. Help me, Lord. And I thank you for inviting me to hear it, because I'm not one to actually talk unless you're in my face. So I'm actually proud of myself for even opening my mouth, because I battled with the button. So I love y'all. I thank you for inviting me, and keep on, because as long as you blaze the trail, I'm going to be falling. Lord help me.
Love you, mommy. Love you too. Thank you so much for tuning in. Oh my God.
Thank you.
I cannot cry, because I am the host. So I cannot cry. I have to continue the show. Oh my God. You know what? This is just, it's amazing to me. And, you know, and it's amazing because God, you know, God knows what he's doing. And I will say, God,
yes.
He knows exactly what he's doing, and he knows when to connect. And he knows, and we, while we may not know the why, he does. And so, you know, I just want to say to you that you have encouraged me to really step out. And you are an example to me. I'm not there yet, but I see even now, and I'm understanding even now the connection even more. You know, and I thank God for the connection, because I'm not supposed to. You know, this is not supposed to be happening. But God, in the midst of it all, God, and he just sends the books. And I don't even know how the books come across my screen sometimes. I'm sitting at work. But he just sends the books and directs the books. And it is a blessing. You are such a blessing. And I am so excited. So excited. Oh, my God.
To me, it's sitting here, all the naysayers that I had that I could have listened to discourage me, to tell me I would never do it, I'm never going to be anything, that it won't work, it won't happen, that could have stopped me. And at one point, it almost did. Even recently, it almost did. But I had to tell myself, I know somebody who is greater than my problems. I know somebody who is greater than the negative that people have to say. I understand not everybody is going to receive it, but that's okay. The ones who need to receive it, the ones who love me from their heart and don't expect anything from me and to continue to be here and support me through everything, that's the reason that he allowed me to do it. That's the reason he put it into me, and I can't stop because of the negative. I know it's going to come. I know it's going to come 10 times harder now, but I also understand who he's placed in my life to be like those days where I say, I don't know if I can do this, God. He's going to send somebody to say, keep going, sis, or I'm proud of you, or you did that in that book. It's just going to help me to continue not to stop. It's when we stop and when we give up that we've given up on God, and we can't. He's been too good to me, too good to us for me to say, now I give up. I don't want to do this anymore. I can never repay him, so I have to keep going to try to do something that he requires of me to bring his people closer to him, because during the days that we're living in now, it's hard by itself. And with everything else added on top of our everyday lives, it makes it so much harder. But it's when we just have to say, God, I trust you. I give you my all. Even if I don't have a dime in my pocket, if I don't have anybody outside of you who loves me, you're enough. And once we say that to him, he'll bring the people around you and to love you unconditionally with no stipulations, no requirements. They just love you because of who you are. And I just thank everybody who's supported by buying the book, everybody who's left reviews on Amazon, even the negative ones. I thank you for those because those inspire me to keep going. This book may not be for you, but the next one may be. And if I stop on this book because of one negative review, I might not be able to get you the help that God needs to get to you if I stop. So I'm still going to keep going and continue to do what it is, and it's only because I have the support of such wonderful and loving people who want nothing from me but the love that I can give back. And so I'm so thankful for you for even reaching out to me all those months ago and just stepping out with me and continuing to be supportive in what it is that I'm trying to accomplish. And here go the tears again.
Right. You got me tearing up. I told you, we're still going to do 10 more minutes at least. So, and I told you we would go over. So, oh my God. Okay, I'm not going to cry. It is such, you know, we have had so many callers, and forgive me if, for those of you who could not get through, I do apologize. I've tried to get everyone who pressed one. The boards have been going crazy. And this right here, because I believe that, again, this is only the beginning. This is the beginning. And it is such a wonderful start, such a wonderful beginning. And it's just a test of, as everyone who has called in and who has gotten on the air has attributed to your wonderful spirit. This is not anything that can be fake or fronted. Before we ever had a conversation, we were on Twitter. You know, and So that right there, because I can tell, I can read people. And, again, I don't just, you know, connect with people like that. It takes a minute and, you know, although I love all my authors, so I don't want anyone to feel slighted. I love everyone. But sometimes there is such a connection with someone that you don't understand, and you never know the reason. I didn't know how this conversation was going to take place. I didn't know how it was going to transpired or what we were going to talk about. But I believe that, you know, even with the drop calls, it was because what was needed, the enemy did not want that to go forth. And
right.
So the Lord is using you at such a time as this. And it's not just for, and it's defying the age. It's going across the age limits. There's no, and gender. It's not gender specific either. You are being used in a time where, you know, men and women are going through abuse and experiencing all kinds of things. And so if you are listening, if you just tuned in, immediately after the show, it will go on and you can hear the archive. It will go immediately into archive. You can download it and also put it on whatever, disc or whatever. But it immediately will go to archive. You can listen to it as much as you would like. But I thank you so much for not sitting on your disc, for using, because you were using the writing as a catalyst to do something else. But God, even though you have that in mind, God has something else in mind with your writing. And so thank you so much, because if you have not helped one person, you have helped me. And I appreciate you greatly for using your gift. And like I told you before, you are my sister. We are connected.
Yes.
And I so look forward to your publishing company. I cannot wait. I'm so excited. You just told us that I'm so excited for you. So before I start crying, before we begin, we have gone through so much. We've had a number of callers. Is there anything that you would like to say about the book that we haven't touched base on, that we haven't discussed? What would you like to convey to the audience and to the fans?
I think for all across, even with God doesn't make mistakes, God doesn't break promises, and confessions, and whatever I write after that, there's always going to be a message of some sort. It may end, some people may feel like it ended abruptly, but I ended that way because that's the way that I'm led to end it. And I think a lot of people may not understand why I do things, but like I told, you know, I told you that at one point in time, I want to push out more, but I let God have his way. Whatever God tells me to do, I'll do it. So it may not be the norm, but God, I can't put God in a box. He's bigger than whatever box we can try to fit him in, and I will not minimize what it is that he's trying to do. But each book, it will have a message. Each book will hopefully speak to you in a certain area and give you revelation or clarity. And I just want each book to bring people closer to God and to let them know that God has not forgotten you, no matter what it looks like, no matter what people say to you, no matter what you're going through now. God won't bless your mess, but he will bless you while you're in your mess. He's still going to be there. Mm. So don't give up on him, because he's not going to give up on you. You just have to stand firm in what you believe in, and don't compromise for the people. Don't even compromise for yourself. Whatever God tells you to do, wherever he leads you, he will not lead you astray. It may be so unfamiliar. It may be so uncomfortable, but we all know that the diamond has to go through a lot of pressure before it can come out to become that diamond. So we have to make sure that whatever hits we take, we know this is for God. It's going to work out in the end. And when that time comes, there's no way that no one can tell you that you didn't do all that you could with what you were given. And I don't want that to be what people say about me. I want people to say she used everything God put in her to reach everybody God wanted her to reach. And I just want to please him. So if I can please him, nothing else really matters. because everything else will line up if I'm pleasing him.
Honey, this is the preacher, the missionary, the author, publisher. She is, you're wearing many hats now. The offering needs to go forth. So, you know what, Nora, I just want you, I want you to close out this conversation. This is not an interview, it was a conversation. It was church. The doors of the church are open. It was church. We had church. Bless you so much. May God continue to bless you. And could you just go ahead and close us out in prayer?
I sure can. I need y'all to bow your heads and close your eyes. Heavenly Father, we come to you right now. Just thank you for this opportunity. Thanking you for shining through on the line tonight to reach into each and every person who called in, who listened via internet, for blessing Janelle for putting this together for us to be able to minister to your people, dear God. Lord, let your love and your light and your wisdom shine in everything that we do. Bless the people that need you even more than we do, dear God. Meet them where they are. Meet their needs. Let them know that you're there. Touch them, dear God, and let them know you have not forgotten them, no matter what it looks like. Let them know their greater is yet to come, and it is on their way if they just stay faithful and continue to trust you. Lord, help them to continue to believe in you and know that your word will not return to you void. God, we thank you. We magnify your name. We love you and we glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And with that, I thank you. Travel safely. I love you.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for sitting with us and taking the time out. Have
thank you so much for having me.
God bless everyone that listened and tuned in this evening. Please join us again next Tuesday, same time. God bless. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.